I want to say greetings to each one of you. It's been a good thing to be here so far this morning once again. Just the different kind of ways that a common theme has kind of woven through the service. And I'm always amazed at this. Every time I preach, it feels like things just tie together so good in the service. And I don't think anyone communicates about it ahead of time. It's the Holy Spirit. And it's so cool when that happens. It's confirmations that you're kind of going in the direction that God wants you to go in. It's a good feeling. I want to thank, there's a few little sticky notes up here, and some of them have been up here for a while, but occasionally a new one pops up, and I don't know who it is. It doesn't really matter, but thank you for little things like that, the little notes of encouragement, the little kind words that you anonymously leave. It is appreciated. Thank you for that. And before I get started, I want to acknowledge what Aaron said. Bless you for being transparent and honest, and I would say I forgive you. Appreciate you doing that. This morning, we're going to look at just a few verses for the main text of the message. It's going to be found in Hebrews 12, just the first three verses there. I made the message title this morning is Fixing Our Eyes on Jesus. And it's a topic I feel like I could have went a lot farther with it. I could have went a lot of different directions with it. I was really having trouble figuring out how much to say, where to cut it down, where to... In all reality, I wonder if I'm going to say enough. I don't know where this is going to go. So we're going to go on a ride together. But I honestly was trying to go in different directions, and this is where God kept taking me. So my prayer is that if we need to hear it, that the Spirit can speak to us, and it can be an encouragement to whoever it might be that needs to hear it. But I had this topic chosen, and Friday evening, the kids wanted to watch The Forge together as a family. It's a movie by the Kendrick brothers. And I had never seen it. Some of the family had seen it. And I was like, no, I don't have time. I need to study. Well, I kept catching bits and pieces of it, drifting back to our room where I was trying to study. And I finally was like, you know what? I think I need to go watch this with them. And so I went and sat down and watched it. I was convicted. I really was. And some of this, now I'm not basing a sermon off of a movie, but some of this can easily be traced back to a lot of the thoughts that go in that movie. You know, what we have to give up. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, how on fire are we really as a Christian? Like, how far are we willing to go? So many times we're willing to go to a certain point and then we stop. Like, that's it. I'm not giving up anymore. And that's a little bit of my mindset behind this, but also maybe a little different direction, just trying to give us some encouragement. And there's so many different ways you can take this. So if it goes a different direction for you, whatever fixing your eyes on Jesus, you know, praising God, that's fixing our eyes on Jesus, whatever it might be. But take it to heart, however it applies to you. Before I get started, I have a question to ask, and I'd like you to do this exercise in your mind. So if I was to say to close your eyes and get a picture of Jesus in your mind, you know, what would that picture look like to you? I think to each one of us, we would get a different picture of Jesus. It might be some act that you kind of think of when you think of Jesus. Was it Jesus hanging on the cross? Would it be Jesus calming the storm in the boat with the disciples? Would it be Jesus walking on the water? Jesus preaching to a large crowd of people? Or Jesus stooping down and taking the time to hold a child? Jesus taking the time to heal a sick person? Was it Jesus stooping down to wash his disciples' feet? Or would it be Jesus victoriously ascending into heaven? I don't know where your mind goes with that. Those are just some of the thoughts that came to me, maybe to get your mind rolling. But I'd like us to come up with a picture in our mind, and then let's hang on to that, and let's come back to it later on. So, like I said, we're going to be looking at the first three verses of Hebrews here in just a second. But I came across the quote in all my studying I'm going to share with you. And pay attention, because it can get... I want you to catch it. It says, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. If you want to be delivered, look up. I don't know who to attribute that quote to. I couldn't find who it was by or anything like that. But there's so much truth in that. You know, we as people can allow circumstances, we can allow our surroundings, things, whatever it might be, to control us. We can become anxious, we can become weary, we can become burdened, it can make us angry, it can make us lose hope. There's just so many things. You can go on and on and on. And through that, we can lose our peace and our joy, our love, our patience, our endurance. Our faith can waver because of us losing our focus. We can allow these things to come in and crowd out our focus, take our eyes off of our Savior. And we don't want that to happen. As Christians, we desire to head towards Christ, to be more like Christ, to grow in Him. But we can allow ourselves to unwillingly and unknowingly sometimes slip in a rut. And if we don't recognize it, we don't correct it, we can get stuck there, and we can struggle for a long time. So this fixing our eyes on Jesus, it doesn't just happen. We have to be intentional. We have to choose that to be what we want to do. I had to think of, I'm going to make a couple examples, and I'm really going out on a limb because I'm not a farmer. But the one example I had that came to my mind was a farmer when he's planting his crops. I think all farmers, for one reason or another, want to plant their crops and have straight rows. There's multiple reasons for that, but they do. They want to have straight rows. And so whether it's beans, corn, cotton, whatever it might be, they want the rows to look straight when the crops grow so that it's nice. There's more to it than just being nice. But, you know, these days they have GPS-controlled tractors. They have auto-steer. It's no big deal. You set everything up and it basically drives itself, and it'll make a nice straight row. But in the old days, it wasn't that way. It took a lot of talent and a lot of skill for a farmer to set his focus on something on the other end of the field and go straight and not waver and make crooked rows. It took a lot of talent to go straight. And you could see pretty quick when the crops came up if your focus was as good as you thought it was. It showed up. And sometimes, obviously, they probably were a little crooked and a little more than the farmer would like. But that's how we are. You know, we can get distracted sometimes. We can kind of look over here, we can look over there, whatever it might be, and before we know it, we're wavering. Before we know it, we're wondering. And yeah, it's because we took our eyes off of our Savior. So many times, it's just we let our eyes be drawn away from Jesus. So as I said, it's a choice. We have to not only look to Jesus, we have to also look away from the things that can distract us, or we can wander off course. So let's go ahead and read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. It's really hard to know because the context of this is a little different than where I'm going, but I wanted to focus on the first three verses. And if you want to take time to read the rest of the chapter sometime and get the full context of what the writer is talking about, I would encourage you to do that. But I'm going to start in verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I'd like to just look at a couple words that come up in this. So the word race, and if you read Paul's writings, a lot of times he uses the word race to refer to a struggle, a conflict, whatever it might be. And that word here is used by the writer of Hebrews in the same way. There's a lot of discussion about who the writer of Hebrews is, but I'm not going to get into that. It's just used a lot in the same way that Paul would have written it. So he uses the race as an analogy for the spiritual journey. So just as a runner has to persevere to finish a race, to win a race, to make it to the finish line, we have to do the same in our Christian life so we stay strong in our faith and so we don't give up in the race. Then the word endurance in this setting, in this instance, is meaning a determination, an unhurrying and yet undelaying, which goes steadily on and refuses to be deflected. That definition is in the word of a commentator, Barclay. And in this instance, it's referring to Jesus not giving up. He was steadfast in his commitment to follow out his Father's will, no matter how difficult it was. So I came up with three ways that fixing our eyes on Jesus can truly benefit us. And like I said, this could go probably 20 different things you could come up with. I came up with three. So it's not limited to what I'm going to talk about this morning. But the first one is it shows us what is hindering us from running the race that the writer refers to. So if you look, it says to throw off everything that hinders our ability to run this race. So when we choose to live for Jesus and to fully follow him, to serve him, we need to give up anything that holds us back. And it's easy as people sometimes to accumulate burdens as we go, whatever it might be, to allow things to go along with us that are weighing us down. So once again, go back to the analogy of a runner. Think about runners that you see. Do they take a big heavy backpack with them on their backs when they run? Do they carry a suitcase with some extra things along just in case? No. Runners try to find the most high-tech, lightweight clothing and shoes possible, almost to an extreme. But they're trying to go lightweight to do anything they can to avoid any hindrance. So why do they do that? Because if they have a backpack with them, if they have a suitcase that's weighing them down, what does their focus turn to? It turns to that extra weight as it's wearing them down. Now they got to figure out, instead of trying to win the race, they got to try to figure out how to just make it through the race. And it becomes a distraction. It slows them down. And most likely, they're not going to win that race if that's how they're trying to race. And it's made them lose their focus. You know, no longer are they focusing on winning. They're just trying not to drop out at that point. And that's what I was saying. We can allow a lot of things in life to come in to weigh us down, to distract us. And there's a long list of things for everyone. It can be something different, what that could be. But it could be our hobbies. It could be our careers. It could be our friends. And it can be something different for each one of us. But whatever it is, when the Spirit lays it on our hearts to set it aside, we need to pay attention. There's a reason that God brings these things up in our minds. It might be something we're falling short in. And it might be something we need to surrender and set aside and give to God so that it doesn't become a serious hindrance in our faith. And then the writer also refers to throwing off the sin that so easily entangles us. You know, believers are children of God. We as Christians are God's children. And it should be our desire to want to grow closer to our Heavenly Father, to be more like the image of Jesus. And as this progression goes on, we become more like our Heavenly Father. His righteousness, His holiness, it permeates our beings. So when we sin, that not only stops the progression of becoming more like Him, it causes us to go the other direction. It causes separation. We're moving away from God when we sin. And our relationship with Him is strained until we confess, until we try to do what we can to make it right and ask for His forgiveness. So that's why it's so important. We have to recognize sin in our lives, and we have to put it away, ask for forgiveness, so that we can be restored in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that allows us once again to progress towards becoming more and more like His image that He created us to be, the image of Jesus Christ. So I say all that, but I want to say this. It doesn't mean we're not going to ever sin once we become a Christian. We know that we're all going to fall short sometime. We know that God's grace does not require perfection. But we also know that we don't need to be entangled in sin. We don't have to be stuck and wrapped up and controlled with sin. That sin is not going to go away until we face it and we deal with it and we get forgiveness for it. And when we allow ourselves to stay wrapped up, to stay controlled by it, it's going to be hard for us to have any hope of our salvation. It's going to be hard for us to have any victory, because all we can see is our failures and where we fall short. And it's so important that we don't get stuck in that rut, because it's really difficult to see the other side. But we as people have to remember, we have to rest in the fact that Jesus gave up His life so that we can have victory, so that we can have victory over sin and temptation. So I'm going to summarize this first point. We fix our eyes on Jesus so that we can see what we need to correct. Okay? But we don't want to stay stuck there. We want to take care of what we need to take care of and move on and strive to grow in our walk with Christ. So the number two point, we fix our eyes on Jesus to encourage us not to give up when we become weary. So think about all that Jesus endured for our sake. You know, you think back to the religious leaders, they were always trying to trip Him up in His teachings. He was betrayed by one of His dear disciples. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was cruelly hung on a cross as a criminal for something He never did. And then you look at, you know, I think it's in verse 2 of the text. It says, scorning its shame. Shame was everywhere through this whole process of Jesus going through dying for us. And He could have easily let that shame just overwhelm Him and say, you know what, enough is enough. I can't do this, and bow out of it, give up. But He didn't do that. No, He faced it. He followed through with God's plan. He followed through with God's will. And as He did that, He set up a perfect example for us so that we could see what it looks like to have faith, full faith in God, even when the circumstances are so hard to understand, even when it's so difficult we don't know how we're going to make it through. He knows what hardships we're going through. You can be assured of that. He's referred to as the author and the perfecter of our faith. And I studied multiple commentaries just trying to make sure I could kind of understand what that meant. And I don't know that I can perfectly explain it, but in my simple way of thinking, Jesus laid out the groundwork and set an example for us to follow as he lived out his faith and as he trusted in his Father God. Despite being in this fallen world and dealing with unfair circumstances, he exercised a perfect faith that culminated when he made the ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. In doing this and not giving up, he showed us that we too can endure when we face hard times. We need not grow weary or lose heart. We must fix our eyes on Jesus and remember the great sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And when we compare the struggles that we have with what Jesus went through for us on our behalf, it can help us to remain strong. You know, we can see that Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. There's different places in the Bible it talks about. He went through everything that we can possibly go through. And I would say he went through a lot more than what we're going to go through. And yet he kept the faith. He stuck to the course and did not give up. Remember the instance where Jesus walked on the water. He came out to the disciples and they were pretty scared. They didn't know who this was that was walking on the water. And they realized it was him. And Peter said, "Hey, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water. Things were going great. Until Peter took his eyes off Jesus and saw the waves and sensed the wind. And then he started to sink. And we all know what happened. Jesus reached out, rescued him, and he showed him his lack of faith. And what happened was Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. He lost his focus. But Jesus rescued him. You know, when we are going through a storm, he's not going to let us drown. He's going to rescue you. So don't lose heart. The third point is fixing our eyes on Jesus will keep us from wandering aimlessly or losing our way. So here's another point. I'm going out on a limb with an analogy, but I did some studying on this to make sure I'm kind of right. In the aviation world, there's a term called spatial disorientation. And that's a long term for basically when a pilot gets disoriented flying in thick fog or heavy clouds, when there's little to no visibility. And if you're ever in a plane, you can kind of sense when, even as a passenger, when you're banking, when it's pitching up and down, whatever it might be. You can kind of get that sense. But when there is no visible horizon to use as a reference point, it can get really tricky. We have things in our ears that tell us what we're feeling and help us keep our balance. And if you're not really careful, that can actually totally play tricks on you. You can think you're banking when you're flying straight. You can think you're flying straight and level when you're banking. You can do all kinds of things. And if a pilot's not careful, they can really become disoriented quickly. So that's what the instruments are for in the cockpit, to keep them oriented, to keep them where they're safely flying. If they don't rely on the instruments and if they rely on their senses, they can lose control of the plane, they can wander off course, and worst case scenario, they can crash. So before a plane can be taken through those clouds by a pilot, that pilot has to know how to use his instruments. And how many times do we feel like we're in a fog when the visibility is really, really low? When we can't see our hand out here, it feels like we don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know how to go anywhere ahead of us. You know, it can be a lot of things. Maybe we can't catch a break with our health. Maybe we can't ever get ahead with our money. Maybe life just comes at us so fast our head is spinning. For whatever reason, it can be really hard not to get overwhelmed. And it can be really hard to know how to proceed sometimes. And that's when we really need to fix our eyes on Jesus, because when we're just wandering aimlessly, it's really dangerous in our spiritual walk. What do we do to fix our eyes on Jesus in those times? We need to pray. We need to dig into God's Word. We need to seek out godly counsel from some other believers. You know, those are just some of the ways, but we need to get our focus back on Jesus, even when the way is unclear. Because Jesus is that instrument that can keep us oriented, that can keep us on the right path, that can keep us from getting stuck in the fog, getting lost in the fog. And eventually that fog will lift, but until that point where we can see again, we need to be focused and fixed on Jesus. So I'm going to go all the way back to the beginning. The picture in your mind of Jesus. I don't care what picture you got. That is the reason we fix our eyes on Jesus. All of the reasons. All of the things that we think of when we picture Jesus, that's why we fix our eyes on him. He's the ultimate example in humility, love, sacrifice, serving, patience, kindness, perseverance. He's the one who experienced everything that we will ever possibly experience. He's the one who knows everything about us. He's the one who came to this earth and gave his life for our sake so that we can have life. Last Sunday, we talked about that in a Sunday school lesson. Choosing life. Jesus is the reason we can choose life, folks. He is the reason. He's the one that we can trust to guide us through life's uncertainties. He's the one that comforts us when we're in times of grief. He's the one that gives us peace when we're experiencing trials. He gives us strength when we are weak. And he gives us life when we choose to follow and serve him. One more quote by Spurgeon that I want to give you. It says, looking unto Jesus means life, light, guidance, encouragement, joy. Never cease to look on him who ever looks on you. I want to close by reading Colossians. This is going to be chapter 1, verses 9 through 23. Getting a picture of Jesus, his supremacy. Last Sunday, Dale read from Philippians 2. That's another place you can go to just to get a picture of Jesus. And it's so good just to remind ourselves of who Jesus really is, because sometimes we just lose sight with all the craziness of life. Once again, I wasn't sure where to start and stop, but I'm gonna read from verse 9 of chapter 1 through verse 23. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the help, from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Jesus did all that for us, and he did it with joy. Go back to Hebrews, verse 2. It says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He did that for you, and he did that for me. He did that for all of us. So let's today, this week, this next year, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's not forget where to focus. He'll keep us on the right path. He'll keep us strengthened when we need it. And he'll give us what we need to keep us from giving up when life gets hard. So may God bless you in that. Brian, do you have a song?
276 in Faith and Praise.
All right, number 276 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand when you find that, and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning for your goodness. God, thank you so much for your love. Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus as an example. Father, help us when life is tough, when there's a fog around us. I pray that you would help us just to remain fixated on you. Help us to not lose our focus, and I pray that you would give us the strength to get through the times when it's hard. Father, I pray that you would just bless each one here. Would you help us as we go? And I pray that we would be faithful to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just sing the first verse, 276.